Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Beitza's daf Chaf Hey. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf of Lenin Lezeach Nishmas Lois Lupin Zaltzman. We're on the Mishnah on Chaf Dalam at Aleph. We're in the very bottom of the Amud. We're now the second Mishnah, the third parak of the Masechta. Masechta started off the third parak talking about the prohibition of trapping. One's not allowed to trap on Yantiv. The issur of trapping on Yantiv could very well be an issur d'oraisa. Sounds like that from Rashi and Tosfos, although debatable. But but you're not allowed to trap on Yantiv, even though, as we've been discussing since the beginning of the Masechta, one can engage in activities on Yantiv, which would normally be a malacha on Shabbos for the purpose of ochel nefesh. You're allowed to cook on Yantiv, you're allowed to shecht on Yantiv, but nevertheless, trapping you're not allowed to do. Why you're not allowed to trap? So as we we discussed that yesterday. I offered yesterday a little more explanation in terms of why some malachas are prohibited on Yantiv. When we started the Masechta on Dav Gimel, so we went through Tosfos. Tosfos quoted the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, Milisha ve'elach, that you can only trap, you can only do malachas on Yantiv that involve food preparation, but only the last stages of the malacha, only kneading and baking, but you can't do any of the earlier stages of the malacha. Okay, that's Tosfos back on Dav Gimel. Rashi, right here, and the beginning of the third parak, so Rashi gave a different explanation. Rashi says that the fundamental difference lies in that which you could have done before Yantiv versus that which you can do, which you cannot have done before Yantiv. So, for example, shechting, you could shecht before Yantiv, but the meat, the quality of the meat is not going to be the same if you shechted yesterday as opposed to if you shechted today. So the shechting falls under the category of efshar, something you could not have done before Yantiv. Kneading dough is something which is efshar. You couldn't knead the dough before Yantiv. You knead the dough before Yantiv, and then what? The dough is going to sit there, it's not going to work. The only way that you can knead dough and make bread is only if you have the allowance to knead on Yantiv itself. But activities like trapping and like any of the earlier activities of earlier stages of the preparation, which you could have done before Yantiv, so Rashi says that's where we draw the line. Okay, so the difference between Efshar versus Efshar. Remember Tosfos yesterday, Tosfos says that distinction of Efshar and Efshar is not relevant to ochel nefesh. That's only relevant to machshirei ochel nefesh. Okay, that's a lot of what we saw yesterday. Yesterday we spent a considerable amount of time. The Gemara spent nearly an amud trying to help us understand what's considered trapped and what's considered not trapped. On Yantiv, you're not allowed to trap. So that means that the animals that you're going to shecht have to be pre-prepared prior to Yantiv. They have to be, in other words, the fish doesn't have to be out of water, but the fish has to be contained in a manner where it's basically trapped. So what exactly are the criteria? And that's true by fish, it's true by birds, it's true by animals. So what exactly is the criteria? So that was yesterday. Yesterday, not a complicated daf, but certainly like a lot of details in terms of what is considered trapped. So that's a lot of what we saw yesterday. We're on the mission, Chaf Dalam and Aleph, and we're going to continue. Mitzudos Chayav Of V'dagim Sha'asim Erev Yom Tov. So let's say I lay the traps out before Yantiv. So lo yitol mehem b'yamtiv. So in other words, let's say I lay traps out before Yantiv, which presumably you shouldn't do. But in other words, the traps were laid out already, and the animals got ensnared on Yantiv itself. So the Mishnah says lo yitol mehem b'yamtiv. You can't take them. In other words, the animals that are trapped, even though you didn't do the action of trapping, but nevertheless your traps worked for you on Yantiv. So that you can't do, that you can't enjoy that animal. Ela im ken yodeh shenitzonu me'erev yom tov. The only thing is, the only way you could use it is only if you have knowledge that the animals were actually trapped before Yantiv. Meaning you had to go out to your traps before Yantiv and actually have seen with your eyes, empirically, that you know that this animal was trapped before Yantiv. Then and only then can you enjoy that animal on Yantiv. But what if you don't know? Well, we're going to see in just a moment. Sounds a simple pshat of the Mishnah. The simple reading of the Mishnah is that you know that the animal was trapped before Yantiv. Then and only then can you enjoy the animal. And then there was a non-Jew who once sent fish to Rabbi Gamliel on Yantiv. Rabbi Gamliel gets a lot of airtime in this Masechta, right? We ended the second parak talking a lot about Rabbi Gamliel. But here we go again. So there was a non-Jew who sent fish to Rabbi Gamliel, V'amar, and Rabbi Gamliel's response was as follows to the gift that was presented to him by the non-Jew. So V'amar mutarin hein. So Rabbi Gamliel says, first let me make a halachic point. It's fine. Not a problem. And then Elishen Ritzen l'kabal heimenu. And then let's make a social point. I don't want to take it from you. But in other words, though, halachically, it would have been fine. Rabbi Gamliel, talk about somebody who was blunt and maybe I don't know, can't say too honest, because obviously he felt justified. But he says, look, halachically, it's fine. I'm just not going to take it from you. If you don't want to speculate, so Rashi writes, so for the last Rashi in the Mishnah, the only two Rashis in the Mishnah. So Rashi writes, El Shein Ratzin Lekabel Hemenu, She'ani Sono. So Rashi says he's my enemy. So it was a personal matter between Rabbi Gamliel and this non-Jew. Again, we don't know any of the story. So obviously we reserve judgment, and not only do we reserve judgment, but Dan Lekavschus, obviously Rabbi Gamliel, we're gonna assume that he had his reasons, but nevertheless, in other words, he had animosity towards this non-Jew, this particular non-Jew, and he said, look, halachically it's fine, but I'm not accepting it from you.
What's the difference between setting a trap before Yom Tov and a timer?
Right. So okay. So the setting the trap before Yom Tov, the problem is going to be very simple, and we're going to be discussing in just a moment. Meaning the seder itself may not be the issue per se, as it may be muktzah. Meaning, going into Yom Tov, you have to know exactly what you're going to be eating. Remember, we spent a lot of time in the beginning of the Masechta talking about those birds in your birdhouses. So you have to specify it. I want that bird, I want that bird. So in other words, if you're trapped on Yom Tov, that means going into Yom Tov, the Bein Hashemesh spirit, going into Yom Tov, you didn't have your mind set on that particular animal. So it's not Muchan. And you'll see the terminology that I'm using is going to be the exact same terminology the Gemara is using, which is good. You'd like to hear that. So that's really the trapping may not be the issue per se. It wasn't prepared before Yom Tov. Now, Maisa Lister. Now you'll notice that there's a disagreement between the halacha in the Mishnah and the story in the Mishnah. Meaning, the halacha in the Mishnah is that you have to know the animal was trapped before Yom Tov, and if you don't, you're done. You can't use it. And then the story. What was the story? So a non-Jew comes over with fish. Now the non-Jew doesn't have Yantav. He doesn't have halachas of Yantav. So in other words, very well that the non-Jew could have trapped the fish on Yantav itself. Quite the possibility. And he presents it to Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel says, well, you know, halachically that would have been fine. Just like I don't want to take it. But halachically it would have been fine. So there's a disagreement between the halacha of the Mishnah and the story of the Mishnah. And the Gemara jumps on it right away. So my solicitor, chasur mechzer v'hachi kitani. So the Gemara says, okay, so we have that missing gap in the Mishnah, right? That missing gap in the Mishnah, which we see in the Gemara time and again. I mean, you got to read in between the lines of the Mishnah, right? Chasur Mechzera, there's a basic issue, a basic question. Whenever we see Chasur Mechzera, it comes up again and again in Shas. Are there really missing text of the Mishnah? Or no, there's not missing text of the Mishnah, even though the words themselves say Chasur Mechzera, it's missing. It's missing text of the Mishnah, or no. When you read the Mishnah, you have to read the Mishnah, and you have to read in between the lines of the Mishnah. When Rav Yehuda Hanasi wrote the Mishnah down, he by design wrote them down in a very terse format. He didn't want to spell it out. So maybe Chasur Mechzer just simply means, we're not adding words to the Mishnah, we're just simply reading in between the lines, because there's more to the Mishnah than just what's presented. Either way, Chesur Mechzer V'Hachi Ketani. Safek Muchan Aser. Oh, this is the missing part of the Mishnah. Meaning, the two extremes are easy. When the animal, or fish for that matter, any animal, when the animal is trapped before Yantav, and you know it was trapped before Yantav, great. If the animal is trapped on Yantav itself, no. In other words, it's prohibited. What if it's a Safek? What if I don't know? I laid the trap out before Yantav, I come there on Yantav, and the animal's found there in the trap, and I simply don't know. Maybe or maybe not, perhaps. So this is what's called classically a Safek. Safek Muchan Aser. So on this issue of Safek, so the Tanakhama's position is no good, prohibited. Safek Muchan would be prohibited. And Rabbi Gamliel, Matir. And Rabbi Gamliel says, no, Safek would be okay. And now the story, now we understand the story. Because the non-Jew is coming over to Rabbi Gamliel with the fish in hand, and we don't know. Was the fish trapped before Yom Tov, or was it trapped on Yom Tov itself? We simply don't know. So, and now Rabbi Gamliel says, look, halachically it's a suffix. Suffix muchan, fine. Just happens to be that. We have acrimony with one another, and I'm not accepting it from you. So I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Shmuel. Okay, before I go on. All right, good. So in other words, so the missing part of the Mishnah is a case of Suffolk. All right, let's think this through.
Good question.
Yes.
If
happened or prepared before Yom Tov. But the fact that Rabbi Gamliel didn't even have in mind that this guy is going to bring something for him,
right.
It was not a
mukhan. Right. So in other words, how do you make something mukhan if you're not the one who said it, who designed it? So, interesting point. And I guess we'll say, it's a good point. I guess we'll say that mukhan would include things that other people have prepared as well. And then when we say other people, we can even extend that based on this Gemara over here. Even if the non-Jew set it aside, that would also be considered mukhan, but it's an excellent point. Okay, let's think this through. Let's think this outside for just a moment. It's easier to understand Rabbi Gamliel's position. Okay, because let's think about what we're talking about. The fish is trapped, and as Danny and I just pointed out, the trapping may not be the issue per se, but in other words, the issue really is an issue of mukhan. Mukhan is really a muksa issue, right? We've been discussing muksa through a good part of this masechta. So really, there's a muksa question involved. And now a muksa question is usually a question which is a din derabanan, meaning the way we view muksa is that muksa is a rabbinic prohibition. So now we have an issue of suffik. A suffik maybe or not, maybe the fish was prepared before Yom Tov or maybe on Yom Tov, we don't know. So it's suffik. So where do we generally lie on the position of suffik derabanan? Usually we're lenient. Suffik derabanan l'kula. And so now we're thinking out loud and we're saying, Rabbi Gamliel's position is very well understood. Rabbi Gamliel says, Suffolk, a Suffolk on a Mukhan, which is really a question of Suffolk on a Moksa, will be Mako. That's Rabbi Gamliel's position. Good. What's the Tanakhama's position? Meaning the Tanakhama takes the position that it's a Suffolk Mukhan and we're going to be stringent. Well, why? Meaning it's the issue over here is a Derabbanan issue, it's a rabbinic law, so why can't we be Mako? So the Gemara doesn't ask this question, and interestingly enough, Rashi doesn't ask this question as well, but it's very reasonable for us to try to understand why should that be. So maybe a couple suggestions, right? This issue is discussed. A couple suggestions. Number one, we're going to be stringent. Maybe the Tanakhama's position that we're going to be stringent on Suffolk Moksa is based on the principle of Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. Meaning we saw earlier in the beginning of the Masechta, the principle of Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, where if I have something which is, which I have something which right now is temporarily prohibited, but in a short while will become permitted. So what do we say about that item? So there's no bittul, right? Remember, we discussed how there was bittul blockage by Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. And we also said earlier in the Gemara, right? And if you remember, there was a Rashi that said this straight out, is that not only will that block bittul, if there's a suffik, if there's a doubt, we're going to be machmir as well. So over here, there's a doubt, but let's think about it. It's only doubtfully prohibited on Yom Tov itself. Once Yom Tov is over, so then it's going to be fine. So even though it's a suffik on a derabanan, but it's Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin. It's something which is going to be permitted after Yom Tov. So maybe that's why the Chachamim say we're going to be machmir. Generally on a suffik derabanan, we're going to go lekula. But on a Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, maybe we won't. Okay, so that may be one possible way of understanding the Tanakhama's position, that we're going to be machmer. Another possible way to explain the Tanakhama, possibly, is the idea that, look, muksa is a din derabanan, but going into Yom Tov, meaning it needs to start, in other words, going into Yom Tov, what things can I enjoy in Yom Tov? Only things which are prepared. Meaning it has to have a good starting point. Here, this item in question, the fish that was trapped, I don't know if it was trapped before Yom Tov or on Yom Tov itself. Yeah, you're right. Generally speaking, if it's a din derabanan, so it's a suffik derabanan, so we're going to be mekel. But here, it never started off okay. Meaning, let's see if I can explain this a little bit better. Generally speaking, when we say suffik, we mean we know something's kosher, and now a question came up, but we don't know. We're not sure. Okay, so if it's a suffix, and it's a din derabanan, we're going to generally be mekel. Here, the chazaka never gets off the ground. We never start off in a scenario where it's okay, because where does the time period of muksa kick in? The bein hashmashos period going into Yom Tov. During that period, we simply don't know whether it's acceptable or unacceptable. So it never had a status. It never had a starting point of being acceptable. So if it never had a starting point of being acceptable, so this is a kind of suffik where maybe we're not going to be makel in such a situation. Okay, so a couple of possible suggestions in terms of, there are others, but a couple of possible suggestions in terms of why the chachamim are not going to be makel in such a scenario. going on in the Gemara. We're back to the Gemara inside. Now, I'm Rav Yehuda Meshmoel in Halacha Rav Gamliel, v'igid amasnil ad tanya. Now, Rav Yehuda Meshmoel says Halacha is not like Rav Gamliel. Meaning, we're going to take the position that if it's a question of Safik Muchan, we're going to be Machmir. Now, some say that the statement of Rav Yehuda Meshmoel is not going on our Mishnah, but rather it's going on the Braisa. Braisa reads, Safik Muchan. If I have a question of Safik when it comes to Muksa Muchan, same thing. Muksa means no, Muchan meaning yes. Safik Muchan, Rav Gamliel, Mat Rav Yeshua Oster. So here we have a machlokus between Rav Gamliel and Rav Yehoshua. And according to the Braisa, it comes out that our anonymous Tanakam of our Mishnah is like Rav Yehoshua. But that's fine. Meaning, remember, we've said this a number of times. When Rav Yehuda Nasi writes the Mishnah, so he may know this, and I say may. He knows this. It just happens to be that he writes it as a Tanakama because that's the halacha. So here in the Braisa, Safik Muchan Rav Gamliel Mat Rav Yehoshua Oster, I'm Rav Yehuda Meshmoel Halacha Rav Yehoshua. The halacha falls like a Rav Yehoshua. Okay, good. In other words, same conclusion. Igad Amasni Laha D'Tanya. Some learn on the following braisa, on the top of Chavdal Amid Beis, Shochtim min ha Nagarin B'Yom Tov. So one can shecht from the Nagarin. Look at Rashi, top Rashi in the Amud. Shochtim Chayas Min Bivrin Lefishin Etzonim Ve'omdim. You have your biver, you have your pen. So any animal that's in the pen, so good, enjoy it. Now the reason why it's called nigarim is a strange word. Rashi just simply writes because there are canals running through. But something that's found in the net, meaning you found an animal in one of your nets and you don't know whether it was trapped on Yontif or before Yontif. So now what's the halacha? Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Baal Matzah Mekukalim Erev Yontov, Biyadush Erev Yontov Nitzodu, Umutarim. Baal Matzah Mekukalim Biyomtov, Biyadush Biyomtov Nitzodu Vaasurim. So the Braisa says, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, well, if you know that it was trapped before Yontov, so then good. Meaning you went out there, you actually saw the net was ensnared before Yontov. Great. And if it was trapped on Yontov itself, so then it's no good. Okay, now, the Braisa is a little confusing. Well, not confusing, but giving mixed messages. The Gemara now comments. That's the end of the Braisa, and the Gemara now comments on the Braisa. Aguf Akasha. The Braisa itself is difficult. Because Amar, Baal Matzah Mekukal Merav Yontov, Biyadush Merav Yontov Nitzodu, Taima, De Baal Matzah Mekukalim, Hasfek Asurin. Meaning the Braisa starts off by saying, if you know, with positive knowledge, that the animal is trapped before Yontov, so then it's good. But that means then, if I don't know, meaning I have a suffix, so then we're going to be a machmir. But I'm a sefer. But then go to the second half of the braisa, where the second half says, if I find the net mekukal, meaning the net trapped on yantiv itself, so then I know with positive knowledge that it was trapped on yantiv. So time of the ba'amatzah mekukalan. So that means that when is it going to be prohibited? Only when I know it was trapped on yantiv. What if I don't know? Hasfeka, merav yantiv nitzodu umutarim. So it sounds like from that part of the braisa that that in the case of safek, so then we're going to be mekel. So we are a little bit confused. What about that middle ground of safek? So hachi kamar. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what? You're right. This is what the braisa has to mean. Baal matzah mekukal merav yantov, biyadush merav yantov nitzodu umutarim. Hasfeka. So we're gonna put all of our emphasis on the first part of the braisa. Only if you know the animal was trapped before yantov, then and only then are you allowed to enjoy the animal. However, if the animal was trapped on yantov itself, or I don't know, sveka, nasa kemishin itzorim yantov. That would be no different than the animal being trapped actually on yantov itself, v'asurim, and therefore it's going to be prohibited. I'm Rav Yehuda Meshmoel, halacha Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and Rav Yehuda Meshmoel says the halacha, in fact, follows like Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Okay. And again, same basic point said over three times. Rav Yehuda Meshmoel says that a Safik Muchan, we're going to be Machmir, we're going to be stringent. According to the first version, he said it on the Mishnah. According to the second version, he said it on the Braisa. Machlokes Rav Gamliel, Rav Yehoshua. And according to the third version, he said it on the Braisa that was on the top of Chavdal Amud Beis, which again, same basic point as we learned the Braisa, that in the case of Safik, we're going to be Machmir. Okay, Adkan. So, Hedy, just to conclude, if it's a Safik Muchan, so the Gemara's conclusion is, although Rabbi Gamliel was Mekel, But the Gemara says, but the halacha does not fall like Rabbi Gamliel. The halacha falls like Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah. Okay, we move on. V'amar mutar in hein. Okay, now remember the story in the Mishnah. The guy comes over to Rabbi Gamliel and presents him with fish, and Rabbi Gamliel says, it's permissible. I'm just not taking it from you. Because of our own interpersonal issues, but it's permissible. So the Gemara now wants to know v'hamar mutar nei mutar lamai. Okay, now when he says permissible, so what does he mean? What does he mean by that? And now I know that's a funny question. Meaning, you would have asked me before the Gemara. You would have asked me. I would have said when he says permissible, he probably meant permissible. I mean, that's usually what the word mutar means. The Gemara is going to have an interesting discussion. It'll be short, but an interesting discussion. Maybe permissible in this case is not exactly as literal as we normally mean it to mean.
On Shabbat, when you say mutar, was it
also a statement? I mean, you're right. It's a funny discussion the Gemara is about to entertain, but okay. So mutar lamai. So Rav Amar mutar lekabel, Levi Amar mutar b'achila. So the Gemara over here is a machlokes between Rav and Levi. So Rav says that it's mutar, mutar means mutar lekabel. You can accept it. Meaning it's not muksa per se, so you're allowed to take it, but you can't eat it. And you'll eat it after Yontev. And Levi says, no, when Rabbi Gamliel says mutar, he meant mutar to both take it and to eat it. Okay. Definitely strange. In other words, again, left to our own devices, I think it's easier to understand Levi's position, meaning why else would Rabbi Gamliel say that it's permitted, other than the fact that it would be permitted to eat? Okay, so Rav's position, certainly more difficult to understand, but fine. Amar Rav, la'olam ayimna adam atzman bi-beis ha-medrash afilo sha'achas. So Rav says that you should go to the beis medrash as often as possible, and when you're in the beis medrash, take it seriously. Meaning a person should cherish every moment that he has learning in the beis medrash. So da'ana v'levi avina kamei de'rebi, Rav says, look, me and Levi were learning from the Rebbe. Okay, so in other words, the primary students of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Rav, right before he left to go to Bavel, and Levi, and Ki Amar Lahashmaita Beorta Amar Mutarin Bachila. So in other words, and when we were learning by Rabbi, here's how Rabbi taught over the position of Rabbi Gamliel. He first taught, in other words, the night prior. The night prior, when he was teaching over the position of Rabbi Gamliel, he says Mutar, and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi said Mutar Bachila. Okay, that's how he taught in the Beis Medrash. And then Mitzafran, the next morning, Amar Mutarim Lekabel. And then in the next morning, when he got up, so he said to the Beis Medrash, okay, you know what, last night, I know when I taught over the Mishnah of Rabbi Gamliel, right, my Mishnah, yes, I guess, when I taught over the Mishnah of Rabbi Gamliel, so I said Mutar Bachila, so I'm going to correct myself. No, I was wrong. It's not Mutarim Bachila, but rather Mutarim Lekabel. Just means that you could take it, you'll eat it after Yantiv. It's not muksa, but you'll eat it after Yom Tov. Now, ana dahava ibe medrasha hadrabi. So, in other words, Rav says, look, I was in the Beis Medrash. I was in the Beis Medrash the previous night. I was in the Beis Medrash the next day. So, in other words, I heard shir, and I heard the retraction. So, I retracted. But Levi, dahava ibe medrasha lo hadrabi. But Levi wasn't there in the Beis Medrash. Okay, right? Normally not something that you would report about somebody else, but Rav is teaching us a lesson. Meaning he wasn't in the Beis Medrash, he didn't hear the retraction, and so he didn't retract himself. Okay. Anyway, so machlokus between Rav and Levi, and then we can even add to that machlokus between Rebbe and Rebbe. Rebbe the night prior versus Rebbe the morning of, the next morning. But anyway, but whether or not when Rabbi Gamliel says it's permitted, what do you mean? Permitted to eat or permitted to just simply take? By the way, odd as it is, this discussion, keep in mind we're discussing a point within Rabbi Gamliel after the Gemara already announced that the halacha does not fall like Rabbi Gamliel, then halacha falls like the Tanakhama. So this is Torah Lishma, meaning we're learning the Torah, but it's for us, we take the Chachamim standpoint. But anyway, Meitzvah, the Gemara, it challenges based on the following, Nachri Shevi Doron Yisrael. Afilu Dagim HaMifulamim Uperos B'nei Yom HaMutarim. If I have a non-Jew who brings a gift to a Jew, and if it's fish, fish which is mifulamim, okay, very fresh, or fruit which is also very fresh, so there would be mutar. Now, bishlam laman da'amar mutarim lekabel shaper. So, el laman da'amar mutarim b'achila peres b'nei yamim mishar b'achila. So, the Gemara says, now, The way the Braisa presents itself, it sounds like the fish was plucked out of the river just today. And it sounds like the fruit was plucked off the tree just today. So the Gemara's argument is, well, you know, you can't eat it. So when the Braisa says mutarim, can't possibly be mean to eat, it must mean that you could take it. That's what the Braisa must mean. So the Gemara immediately reacts. What are you talking about? If the fruit was picked off the tree today, on Yantav, it's muksa. If the fish was taken out of the river today, on Yantav, it's muksa. So you can't eat it, you also can't take it. So the Gemara says, no, meaning we're not going to accept that understanding of the Braisa. Ela bekavri da'adime uperi dekavishi. So the Gemara says the fish is red. And the fruit is, it looks very fresh. Right, Rashi says that when they were picked, picked off the tree yesterday, they were immediately wrapped up. Right, in other words, basically an attempt at refrigeration. But anyway, they were picked yesterday. The fish was plucked yesterday. The fruit was picked yesterday. They look fresh. So I'm sorry. Uper de kafshe biyarka. Askin avamai karlu b'nei yomam shein ke'ein b'nei yomam. They look as if they were picked today, but really they were picked yesterday, and that's why it would be mutter. Okay, and then I guess the chiddush of the Braisa is that even though it looks picked, it looks so fresh, it looks like it was picked today, maybe there might be a marasayin issue, but the point is that as long as it was picked before Yantiv, so then it would be fine. Yes, right, correct. So in other words, it comes out now, absolutely correct, that the Braisa is talking about where I know it was picked before Yantiv. Amar of Papa. Continuing in the Gemara, on the very bottom of Chav Dalam and Beis, Amar Papa Hilchasa. So the Gemara says now, let's say over the halacha, meaning this is the final halacha. If a non-Jew brings a gift to a Jew on Yantov, if the likelihood is that he picked it off the tree today, meaning this is the kind of fruit, it looks, it smells, it was picked today, usr. So then it would be prohibited for the day of Yantov. Meaning, remember, this is a muksa issue. So it would be prohibited on Yantov. And then going into the evening, meaning after Yantiv, it's going to be prohibited as well. For the amount of time that it takes to have prepared that fruit. In other words, on Yantiv itself is going to be prohibited, and then after Yantiv, you have to wait a little bit before you can enjoy it. Okay. One of the big questions of the day is, why do you need to wait a little bit? Meaning, on Yantiv itself, we understand, it's a muksa issue. You can't enjoy it on Yantiv. It was picked on Yantiv, you can't enjoy it on Yantiv. After Yantiv, you can enjoy it. But the Gemara doesn't say that, Rapapa doesn't say that. He says, you have to wait a little bit. So the big question of the day is, why do you have to wait a little bit? Okay, so I'm going to show you Rashi. It's a very interesting Rashi. Rashi, you probably noticed this over the time that we spent learning Gemara together. So Rashi is the running commentary of the Gemara. Okay, usually, Rashi is very, I don't want to say nonchalant, because I'm not articulating well, I'm not presenting it well. But Rashi, it's not a casual, it's just Rashi gives a pshat of the Gemara in terms of what he feels is a correct pshat in the Gemara. Never does he feel the need to, you know, to bang his fist on the table and say, no, I'm telling you this is a pshat in the Gemara, meaning Rashi is offering just simply what he believes is the correct understanding of the Gemara. I mean, it's obviously the backbone of our understanding of the Gemara. Meaning, without Rashi, we don't have just a simple reading of the Gemara. Rashi is indispensable. Okay, right. I'm not sure if I really need to hammer that point. I think we all understand. But here's one of those instances in Rashi where I don't know the context around this. But Rashi, how do I say this? Rashi. Let's look at Rashi inside. So Rashi over here is now going to explain our Gemara. Our Gemara says that if a non-Jew brings a gift to you on Yantiv, and you know that he picked it on Yantiv, so you can't eat it on Yantiv, good, and you have to wait a little bit after Yantiv. So the question on the table is, why do you have to wait a little bit afterwards? So let's take a look at Rashi inside. Rashi, it's a big Rashi, I understand. I don't know if I'm going to go through all of it, but just I want to show you a Rashi that's highly unusual in terms of Rashi's on the Gemara. So Kadesh lo yen ami malachas yomta. Okay, so in other words, so you can't eat it on Yantiv because you can't benefit from that which was done on Yantiv. Okay, good. So Rashi over here explains that you know why you have to wait a little bit after Yantiv? So Rashi says, because we're not talking about a one-day yantav. The Gemara over here is talking about a two-day yantav. Okay? Baruch Hashem, we just went through Pesach. We enjoyed two of them, the first day and the last day. So it's a two-day yantav, one day going into the next day. Now, we know, of course, that you can't prepare from day one to day two of yantav. So Rashi over here says that what happened is, what Rav Papa is describing in our Gemara, is that the gift was given to you on day one of yantav. And now, move on to day two. So, b'chdei she'yasu mutar mimanavshach. And so now on day two, you can enjoy the fruit. Why? Because, remember, the 2 days of yantav, we observe because one of them is yantav, but we don't know. Now again, nowadays with the fixed calendar, we know, but minag avosenu b'yadenu. We still carry the minag of our forefathers. And so even though we know, we're going to observe 2 days, but we're still going to halachically treat it as a suffix. And so, right, with the exception of the Rosh Hashanah, agreed. So, mimah nafshach. Im alayla chol hu harei himtim b'chdei shiyasa. Now look, if tonight is a weekday, so good. So in other words, we waited the requisite amount of time. V'im kidesh hu, v'im kadosh hu, and if the second day has kedusha, so nemsa shenetu nukatu b'chol. So that means that when the non-Jew plucked it, he plucked it during the week, meaning that first day, which would be a weekday, and so therefore mimah nafshach, meaning based on the idea that only one of the days is actually yantiv, so on day two I can enjoy it. I wait a little bit, says Rashi, just to make sure that we're into day two. That's all. That's how Rashi understands the Gemara. Kein da'ati noteh. And Rashi says, I think this is correct. Right? Already, you get a sense from Rashi that what he just offered as an understanding of the Gemara is not so clear. But kein da'ati noteh. V'yesh li rayos har be'me'ahu bar tavyan be'erivin umi beitz shenolda b'zeh shemuteres b'zeh. I'm sorry, mutar. And Rashi says, and I have a number of proofs that this is so. He quotes the Gemara in Erevin. He quotes the Gemara earlier in our Masechta. V'lo zachit l'shol espi Rabbi Yaakov b'davar zeh. And Rashi admits, I didn't have a chance to ask my Rebbe about this particular pshat that I just offered in the Gemara. Right? It's interesting. Like, from the fact that Rashi over here is writing, you know, I didn't ask him this. Sounds like everything else Rashi said he had as a tradition. And he learned from his Rebbe. And then, after the death of my first Rebbe, Rashi writes, I then heard that my second Rebbe, Rebbe Yitzchak, which, by the way, Rebbe Yitzchak Alevi, I dare say it's not his father, meaning Rashi is Rav Shlomo Yitzchak, right? Meaning his father was Yitzchak. But here he's quoting Rebbe Yitzchak Alevi, I don't think it's his father, right? Famously, Rashi quotes in the first Rashi and Chumash, so Rashi quotes, so why the Torah... Why did the story start in Bereishis? It should start in Parsha Shmos. I'm sorry, Parshas Bo, Achorash HaZelachem. Meaning the Torah should have started with Mitzvos. And he gives an answer. And who does he quote in that first Rashi and Chumash? He quotes Rav Yitzchak. So, could be, I'm speculating. It could be that the Rav Yitzchak mentioned over here is the same Rav Yitzchak he mentions in the first Rashi and Chumash. But either way. So, Ad Lal Mothi Yom Tov Sheni. So now I heard a pshat, which is that if a guy brings something to you on the first day of Yontif, you can't eat on the first day of Yontif, and you can't eat on the second day of Yontif. Now Rashi says, I don't agree. Meaning, because the way I'm understanding the Gemara right here, I don't agree. And Rashi says, and you know, the Halachos Gedolos, right, often quoted from Rashi and the Balei HaTosfos, the Halachos Gedolos, Rav Yehuda Igon, so he agrees also that if a guy gives you a gift on day one, you can't eat it on day two. And I went over with my second Rebbe, Rebbe Yitzchak, and I argue this point. And Rashi says, I don't agree. And Rashi repeats, the only reason why you need to wait b'chdei shi'asa a little bit after Yom Tov is over is just because of this mimah nafshach. Meaning, look, either day one was Kodesh or day two is Kodesh. So again, the mimah nafshach. So v'teida midlo kamar la'er shal sheni asurim b'chdei shi'asa. And look, the Gemara doesn't mention anything about day two of Yantiv. So in other words, when the Gemara says that it's mutter after day one, it means it's mutter after day one. So Rashi over here is, you know, is really fighting this point. Uvishuvos Rebbe Gershom Me'ora Gola Matzasi Kamosi. And then he quotes Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom, the Me'or HaGola, right, the light of the exile, right, one of the earliest Ashkenazim. So he says, just like Rashi, that if a guy gives you a gift on the first day of Yontov, you can eat on the second day of Yontov. Gam ata ba'elai miksav me'germais, okay, I don't know enough, Shabbat l'shem Adam Gadol Zakem v'yoshev v'yeshiva min Roma. And then Rashi says, and I got another letter from a yeshiva in Rome, Vishmo Rav Kolonimus, and his name was Rabbeinu Kolonimus, Ubaki b'chol ha-shas, v'harakein, and he knows all of Shas, and he's an expert in all of Shas, and he agrees with me. V'harakein, v'nechlak aleim, and he argues on them. Okay, so Rashi, I mean, it's rare to find Rashi this animated over an issue. And over here, on the issue of receiving a gift from a guy on the first day of Yontif, can I now enjoy on the second day of Yontif? So Rashi argues quite strongly, yeah, you're allowed to join on the second day of Yontif. And he quotes his first Rebbe, he didn't ask. His second Rebbe disagreed, which obviously made Rashi really uncomfortable. And then he quoted Rabbeinu Gershom and Rav Kolonimus. Okay, it's a very interesting Rashi. By the way, Tosus disagrees with Rashi. Right, isn't that kind of what we expected to happen? Tosfos says, no, the Pshat and the Gemara altogether is different. It's a long Tosfos, I'm just going to simply paraphrase. Tosfos basically says, do you know why you have to wait? He quotes all of Rashi. You know why you have to wait, Bichtei Shiasa? Because you don't want to get benefited from any malacha that was done on Yontif. So therefore, after Yontif is over, you want to wait a little bit, so that the amount of time that it took to pluck it off the tree, meaning the amount of time that was expended towards the malacha, you want to get no benefit from that, that's why you have to wait a little bit after Yontif. Tosfos says, that's the Pshat in the Gemara, not like Rashi. But anyway, but to me, I mean, that all this is important, but to me, of interest, is Rashi's animation over this particular issue.
Kenyan on Shabbos is not an issue?
Huh? No, in other words, for food, you're allowed to... Right, you can bring wine over to your host. Okay, so the Hilchasa, I'm sorry. So back to the Gemara. So Amar Rav Papa Hilchasa Nachru Shevidon Leisrael Biyam Tov Vimesh Maoso Amin Bemechub Rasser Ule Erev Nam Yisrim Bechtei Shiasa Vim Ein Maoso Amin Mechubar. So now, what if what the non-Jew presents to you on Yontif wasn't connected to the tree? Meaning, let's leave it really simple. Meaning, let's say it was something which we know was plucked before Yontif, or it's not something that needs to be plucked. Either way, in other words, you know that it was prepared before Yontif, so then fine. But they have to take one more thing into consideration. Tocha tchom mutter. If he brought it to you within tchom, so then it would be mutter. Chutz l'tchom, aser. But if he brought it outside of tchom, so then it's going to be prohibited. And then the Gemara makes a statement which is going to be difficult to understand. If a non-Jew brings you a gift, and again, it was not plucked on Yontif, it was plucked before Yontif, fine. But if he comes from outside of Tchom, so then, and he brings it for you, specifically for you, so you can't enjoy it, because he brought it from outside of Tchom. But another Jew can enjoy it. So here Rashi also really struggles. What? Why? Meaning, why is there a distinction between you versus anybody else? Rashi took a look at the Rashi and top Rashi and Chafei Amud Aleph, where he writes, "Lo shamati tam mekubal b'davar zeh." I don't. What just happened? Rashi says, "I don't know what just happened over here. I haven't." Right? Why is it that when a non-Jew brings a gift to you and he brought it from outside of Tchom, so you can't benefit it, but somebody else can? Why should that be? So de'im isham moksa amay motalis ral achir. If it's a muktzah issue, well, muktzah is prohibited to every Jew. So that doesn't make sense. V'im ishum shenaseh bo iser bishvilo, im ken li yisrael achir nam yasser, denachri she'iluk es aner b'shabbos tanan im bishvil yisrael asser, v'lo chilko beino l'chavero. And if it's a non-Jew doing malacha for you, well, you know, a non-Jew comes into the room, turns the light on, you can't benefit from the light. And by you, meaning no Jew is allowed to benefit from the light. Okay, so Rashi says, I'm not following. Why is the Gemara over here pointing out that when something is brought from outside of Tchum for you, So you can't benefit it, but another Jew can. Rashi says, What just happened? So v'yesh lomer degabe iser tchumim derabban lo achmer kulehai v'dayin im asru al zeh. So Rashi offers up a suggestion. Rashi says, well, maybe tchum is an iser derabbanan. So because tchum is an iser derabbanan, so maybe the chachamim were just more lenient. Okay. Possibly.
There's a suffix also, who maybe
you could be right, but Rashi doesn't throw that in as part of the consideration, but I'm not disagreeing with you. But in other words, it's an Issa Durabana, and that's why they were more makel. Right? This Gemara, by the way, impacts a lot of the mail on Shabbos issue. Right? Mail is brought to you on Shabbos. So you're having, assuming the mailman is not Jewish, although my mailman is, but okay, but assuming the mailman's not Jewish, so now if the letter's coming from outside of Tchum, which I know we can sit and debate that issue, but we're not going to be debating anything. But you understand? If the mail's come from outside Tchum, so that pretty much fits in exactly what we're describing over here. You're having now something brought to you from outside of Tchum. Obviously, it was prepared before Yantav, it was prepared before Shabbos, so that's not the issue, but it came from outside of Tchum, so can you take the mail, can you open on Shabbos, so from the Gemara? Again, assuming that it comes from outside of Tchum, the answer is going to be no. It's funny, can another Jew take your mail? So the answer may be yes, but... Okay, right, and then, right, well, Ben is pointing out, meaning then it's then you have issues of suffix as well. Okay, but anyway... But good. Let's go on.
But the non-Jew, if he's bringing it specifically for you, that's not true. But if he's bringing it for nobody in particular.
Correct. So, right. That's the. Right. Correct. Yes. Right. So, again, Rashi is also trying to figure it out as well. Right, Rashi says, if it's a muksa issue, so then nobody should be allowed to take it. But the Gemara over here clearly makes a distinction between you versus every other Jew. So Rashi says, the only thing I can offer as a suggestion would be, Tchumim is an Issa Durabanan. And so therefore we're going to be Makom. Okay. Let's go on in the Gemara. Amar Rava Barav Huna. We're on the top of Chafei Amud Aleph. So the Gemara quotes, HaSochra HaMatzamayim Erev Yom Tov L'machir Yishkum HaMatzah Badagim Mutarim. So you stop up the canal. Okay, you stuff it up before Yom Tov. And then Yom Tov morning you wake up and look at that, fish. Beautiful. Take it, enjoy it. So in other words, well the Gemara is going to spell this out. Meaning you obviously stuffed it up specifically for the purpose to collect and trap the fish. And you did before Yom Tov, so that's great. And you have to say, the Gemara doesn't make this point, but we'll make it because it's a reasonable point. And you have to say that the canal is narrow enough where the fish, you know, that you're putting your hand into the water to take the fish is not an act of trapping. So in other words, it has to be a confined area so that you're not actually doing the trapping on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says, well, let's extend this halacha. Let's say I have a wild animal. He's in your orchard. He delivered a baby in your orchard, and he delivered it before Yom Tov. Good. And you can eat that little calfling on Yom Tov itself. So in Tzricha Zimun. So I'm Rav Nachman Nafal Chaver B'Rav Ravasa. So Rav Nachman says, ooh, that's very controversial, huh? No, it gave birth before Yom Tov. Okay? And to be super technical, we learned earlier in the Masechta that for animals, because you could have shechted the mother and the calf, you could have eaten the calf inside, so then for animals it's not a nolad issue, oddly enough. Okay, anyway, so the Gemara says, ooh, that was very controversial. Meaning not the first case of the canal and the fish, that's fine. The second case where you have an animal who goes into your orchard and delivers a calf in your orchard, so you don't have to do zimun. You don't have to do any type of act of designation. That's a controversial statement. Now we'll discuss the controversy in just a moment. So Igad Amre, but the Gemara first presents another version of this give and take. Amar Rava Baravuna Medivar Rabbeinu Nilmad. According to the second version, the first version was Rav Chista. Second version was Rava Baravuna. But it's going to be the same basic point. Nilmad. Chaya Shekidna Bepardes and Esricha Zimun. Doesn't need a designation. Amar Rav Nachman Nafalba Chavra Rav Ravasa. And again, the response immediately was, ooh, that's very controversial. Now, Hasam lo kavin maisa, hacha kavin maisa. Velo bayezi, I'm sorry. Hacha kavin maisa. And the distinction is, in the case of the canal, you actually stuffed up the canal, meaning you did an act, and that act demonstrated that you wanted the fish going into the canal. So your act was a formal act of designation. you have a wild animal that goes into your orchard and delivers a baby, you didn't point, you didn't designate, you didn't do anything. And so how can you compare the two cases? So the Gemara says, "V'lo ba'izimun v'atanya." So the Gemara says, consider the following braisa. Chai shekinana bepardei tzricha lezamein. If I have a wild animal who goes into your orchard and delivers a baby in your orchard, so if you want to enjoy that newborn on Yantiv, you need zimun. You need to designate that animal. V'tzipa jorot tzarech likshor p'kanafeha. If it's the free bird, remember we just talked about the free bird just yesterday. If it's the free bird, you have to tie its wings. Kedei shelo tizchalet b'ima. Because you don't want to confuse it with its mother. V'zu edus she'edim mipishmai v'avtalion. And this is an old halacha. I mean, they're all old. But this halacha is attributed back to Shmaya v'avtalion. The zugos, the pair that led the Jewish people the generation prior to Shammai and Hillel. So this goes back all the way to Shmaya v'avtalion. So Tiyufta. So the Gemara says, okay, done. Meaning, you see that when it comes to an animal in your orchard, it's not your animal. It's a wild animal. It's in your orchard. And he delivered a calf before Yontiv, you have to make a formal designation of the animal. You can't just simply assume, oh good, that I'll enjoy that animal Yontiv. You have to be mezamin, you have to designate. So Tiyufta. Only by Zimun Vatanya the Gemara says, yeah, but can I share with you another braisa? Amar Rabbi Shimon Malazar, Mordi Mesham and Beisela Al Shehiz Min Betoch HaKan, O Matzal Efnei HaKan She'asurin. This goes back to the first parak, right? We discussed this earlier in the Masechta. You have a birdhouse. You went and you pointed to birds in the birdhouse. And the next morning you wake up, and there are no birds in the birdhouse, and now they're in the front, perching on the front of the birdhouse. No good. Right? You cannot assume that those are the same birds that they were in the birdhouse. We're talking about birds that basically come and go as they please. Right? The Yone Shovach. But if they're more domesticated, like chickens and geese, and another example of a domesticated animal is a wild animal that delivers in your orchard. You don't, doesn't need a formal designation. And a free bird, you have to tie the wings up before Yantif, so that you don't confuse it with its mother. And those birds that are tied up in your pits, in your cisterns, in your houses, in your caves, there would be mutter. However, you don't leave the bird in a tree. Meaning why? Because then you're going to have to climb a tree. And as we know, in Yantiv, you're not allowed to climb a tree. And by the way, you see a bird that's tied up, you can't take it. Meaning, this is not a Yantiv halacha, this is a general halacha. Once a bird is tied up, so you know that somebody designated it, meaning somebody claimed it, and by you taking it, that's gezel. Okay. Adkan divrei habraisa, that's the end of the braisa. And what do we see from this braisa? It sounds like from the braisa that when you have a wild animal delivering a baby in your orchard, doesn't require zimun. So Amar Rav Nachman lo kasha haba habima. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the difference between the calf that was just burnt, that was just born versus a mother. So the Gemara says ima bezimun sagilat seidamal yasabai. So the Gemara says the mother's a wild animal. Happens to be that right now she's in your orchard. So what? You're gonna have to run after her in order to get her. That's called seida, right? We start off our parak by learning you're not allowed to trap on Yantiv. So what are we even talking about? Okay, so the Gemara says you're right. We're talking about the calf that was just born. Habegina smuchalir, habegina shena smucha, and the difference is as follows: if the garden, your orchard, is right next to the city, so then we could say it's mezuman, it's designated. Meaning, going into Yantiv, your mind was set on that. But if it's one of your orchards that are out there, I guess it's within Tchom, you have to say that, otherwise we don't have, we can't go there. But in other words, but it's out there, it's out somewhere right outside the city, so your mind wasn't on it going into Yantiv. The only way you can enjoy on Yantiv is only through a formal act of designation. Otherwise, you can't enjoy it. Okay, so Ad Kan, so let's just quickly wrap it up. So we started from the Mishnah Chavdal Amad Aleph. We talked about you're setting out traps before Yantiv. If it trapped before Yantiv, good. If it trapped on Yantiv, it's no good. Safek, major machlokis. In the Mishnah, in the Braisos, the Gemara takes a position. Safek Muchan, we're going to be Machmir. Discussion within Rabbi Gamliel. When he says it's mutter, was it to take it or was it even to eat it? Subject to machlokes between Rav and Levi. A non-Jew brings a gift to you on Yontif. If he plucked it on Yontif, obviously he can enjoy it. You can enjoy it after Yontif. Rashi, an animated Rashi in today's daf, where Rashi says we're talking about 2 days of Yontif, and you can enjoy it on day two of Yontif. Okay, Tosus disagrees, as does many others. And then the last issue we discussed is if a guy brings something to you outside of Tchum, it wasn't plucked on Yontif, but he brings it from outside Tchum, you can't enjoy it, but others can enjoy it. Rashi struggled to understand why that should be. And then finally, the wild animal that delivered a baby in your orchard. Can you enjoy it, yes or no? So the conclusion of the Gemara is, if it's proximate and your mind was on it, you can enjoy it.